Councillors, here we go. Firstly, welcome to members of the gallery. We can say both of you. Thank you very much. Today is Tuesday, the 28th of October, a day I know very well, being the date of my birth. And we'll start with our acknowledgement of country. Happy birthday, my big friend. There we go. All right, our acknowledgements of country. The Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Litra Marina tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks to the caring of country, seas and skies of Kini Mata Takinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of Pākehā people in Litruwita. Let's do our attendance register under item one. So we have, of course, apologies and leave of absences. Heather, Ashley, thank you. There's a bit of a blank there. I hope she is having a wonderful time away. In attendance today from the staff, we have, of course, our general manager, Shane Power, who's in attendance. We have our director of corporate and community, Cheryl Hyde. We have our director of strategy, performance and development, Rick Dunn, the fortunately abbreviated acronym now. We have our director of infrastructure and operations, also known as the busiest man in Georgetown, Andrew McCarthy. And we are, as always, ably assisted by our senior executive assistant and governance officer, Louise Dickinson, who's also assisted by Kobe Roach. And, of course, from the elected members' side, we have, starting with myself, a Mayor and Councillor Greg Keyser. We have Deputy Mayor and Councillor Greg Dawson. We have Councillor Jason Orr, Councillor Simone Lowe, my fellow birthday celebrant, Councillor Tim Harris, happy birthday, big fella, Councillor Winston Archer, Councillor Winston Mason, and Councillor Heather Balk. Wasn't that fun? No. Careful as you go there. All right, we'll start with confirmation minutes, and we have one quick little change in item 2.1. Over to you, Mr. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The circulation of minutes to council, the draft minutes to councillors, has brought up some questions with regard to the handling of a couple of motions at the last meeting, in particular motion 134/25, which related to the moving of a motion that was previously carried and it was deferred underneath procedural motions and the regulations. So it may be worth noting for the record that that motion 134/25 is of no effect, essentially. So, councillors, under section 42 of the Act, you have the opportunity to amend the record or the draft minutes as they are presented to you today, whether you want to note that as a on the record or to have it struck.
And I personally would like to apologise to Councillor Archer, who quite rightly pointed out that the way I was carrying that procedural motion was cumbersome and consequently incorrect. So, thank you very much for your observation, and we will see how we go today. So item 2.1 for the minutes, can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason?
Everything seems to be true and correct.
Thank you, sir. Councillor Harris?
Nothing further to add, Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Any speakers for or against, or I'll put it to the vote. Councillor Archer?
So what's happening with that substantive motion on page 28 of the minutes?
Councillors, at the absolute risk of repeating the instance of the previous month, council have the opportunity to accept the minutes as they are, which I believe is a motion that's been moved and seconded. You have the opportunity to amend the minutes as presented, which would require someone to move a proposed amendment to the initial mover and seconder, I suppose. So, as I mentioned prior to council considering the item, they are draft minutes. You are able to debate any inaccuracies that are presented in the minutes before you. My interpretation after the discussion with councils at workshop is that the motion 134/25 is of no consequence to the record, having been moved in the affirmative by way of a procedural motion immediately prior. You may want to make a note on the record to such effect, or you might want to amend the motion or the minutes altogether. That's a discretion of council.
But if I may summarise, you're saying that it is of no consequence if it stays as it is.
There's my interpretation. However, for the record of council, someone may want to add to the motion that if they to amend it to say that we move the motion, we move the minutes as presented, and may I suggest with a note on the record to say something to that effect that's not consequential.
Thank you very much.
Chair.
Any further questions?
Motion to amend.
Councillor Dawson, motion to amend.
That the recommendation as stated that will reflect item or resolution 134/25, the deferral motion to recommend or to recognise it has of no effect, and we are recording the amendment to reflect that.
So, Councillor Mason, you have a request to amend. Do you accept the amendment?
I
do. Councillor Mason has accepted the amendment, so let's give Louise a little bit of a chance to add that to the motion. That in addition to the original recommendation, that motion 134/25 substantive motion is to be removed from the minutes as they have no effect on the minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Happy with that? If we can get a seconder.
I think because it's been accepted by the mover, it is effectively substantive.
Thank you.
All right. Any further questions?
Can we double check with the seconder?
Yes, I should actually check with the second. Did you accept the amendment as well? Yes. You are the second.
Accepted.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, there being no further questions, I'll hand it back to the mover to close.
I think everyone's quite clear now what the motion is.
Thank you very much. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried. Okay. So we have 7-1. 7-1. Yes. 7-1. Councillor Archer was the only one who voted again. Section 3, late items. This month there are nil. Section 4, declarations of interest. Councillors, do any of you have any real or perceived conflicts of interest which you would like to declare for today's agenda? I note that there are no declarations, which means we will then move into public questions part time.
Chairman, just before you go into public questions, can you please explain to me why and how come that on page 4 and on page 8 we as a council are still asking the community are requested to pre-register to attend this meeting of council. Why is that on both page 4 and page 8 of this agenda?
Over to the General Manager, through the Chair to the General Manager.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the question, Councillor Barwick. We have addressed this concern many times post-COVID. The wording has been amended that the Council does no longer require that you register. However, Council requests that you do register for the purposes of understanding potential numbers that may be in attendance. Not always do we have matters of interest or matters that are listed that draw little attention from the community, but from time to time we might. So it's a means to understand how many people will be attending in those sort of circumstances where you can expect some large numbers. And the other one is around public question time procedures, the same purposes, but how you might want to manage the logistics and the situation in advance of the meeting occurring.
Because a lot of people are thinking, well, we're virtually not allowed to come because we have to register, and they think, well, why do we have to register when it's a general meeting? So that's why I keep bringing it up.
I think it's been well covered. Thank you. Any other questions before I start? All right. So just for the benefit of the gallery, so council typically, and this is me just sort of summarising it down so you have the best experience possible, we've basically set aside 15 minutes for public question time. Anything that's on notice I'll address first, then we move on to everybody getting a chance to come and ask a question. There's only a few kind of key things to sort of note here, which is be brief, ask a question, try not to have a long pre-log. You know, get to the question so we can give you the best quality answer. Our whole objective here is to try to speed up our interaction with the community by giving you answers on the spot. But every now and then we just don't have the facts, so it's hard for us to give you one. We may say, if you look, we'll take it on notice, send you something in writing or publish the response in the next agenda if we just don't have that, we need to do a little bit of background work. So it's kind of simple. We'll typically allow you to ask two questions in a row, and then we just go to anyone else in attendance and say, have you got a question, so that one person doesn't dominate. It's pretty simple stuff, so we'll keep it simple. All right, we have two questions today, and I'm going to start off by asking Mrs. Rainbow to come to the microphone. As is our normal practice, state your name, state your address, and we'll have a best shot at trying to answer your question.
Debbie Rainbow, Georgetown. I recently found a notice on empty land across me, notice of a proposed development on the site. This surprised me, as usually all of the neighbours receive notification of such matters, and seeing that it would need a change of plan then. I spent considerable amount of time writing submission on this, which I submitted by email to the address given to me by the council staff the day before the time up was up. Now, there's my homework of 111 pages. There's my copy of my submission, and I would like to read out the key errors I found. That's part of my
question, please.
Well, I've got 2 minutes to speak, and let me finish. The planning application does not have name of the applicant. It shows highlighted area, and this is a private dwelling as part of the construction. That was a private dwelling of 112 Macquarie Street. Page 20 describes 111 Franklin Street as having a setback of 3 metres. As you can see in photo 24, it's barely a metre away. It describes the buildings in the back as outbuildings. They are private residences. Page 10 states the area has good vehicle access connected to public transport, which it doesn't. There's been so many accidents over the years that a roundabout was put there at this intersection. Photos of the street views fail to show the blind approach from Macquarie Street. Also, there is restricted views to that roundabout coming from the north. Planning assessment states this does not cause unreasonable loss of amenity being open 60 hours a week or the traffic generation. Page 43 reads this will exceed the acceptable amount of traffic. page 54 and 55 contradicts this argument, as it's quoted the traffic generation will be about 94 trips per peak hour. This means 94 vehicles will have 38 seconds to come in, find a place in the 17 spaces, take their child and leave. It's all page 56. It is considered, even though this will exceed the acceptable increase, it will not have any significant impact on the operation and safety of Macquarie and Frankfurt. The report fails to mention at peak time there is a significant increase of children and pedestrians moving across the streets between the various three schools. Especially as this report was issued, subsequently there's talk of opening a tavern nearby. So my question to council is this. My question to all the council is, if I could find this error, why did not they find them and bring it to council for correction and for open discussion? Especially that 2 weeks after the close of submission, a gentleman was on the land doing soil tests, repollution, to see if the land was being viable to build on. Now, this was not available for that submission.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, there's a lot to take in all of that. Thank you,
Mr. Raymond.
We will take the question on notice through you, Mr. Chair, and respond.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come forward. Just state your name and address, please.
Good afternoon, councillors. My name is Liliana Di Stefano, and my address is Unit 1, 16 Sorrell Street, Georgetown. So in the centre of town.
Welcome.
Thank you. So the two questions that I would like to ask, firstly, the first one would be, well, the situation being with regards to recycle rewards, and everybody would have received an email beforehand about the, you know, the details and that side of things. My question would be, could the recycle rewards be relocated? It doesn't have to be closed down, because I'm all for recycling, just relocated to a different location, because given that where it's currently sited, it's not strictly a commercial area. There are people living there in very close proximity of where it is. And my second question would be, as a resident and the other residents that live there as well, why were we not informed beforehand, or the council not informed if the government issued the whole situation?
Thank you very much for your question. Through the chair to the general manager.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for your question. The recycling vending machine and the recycle rewards program that sits behind it is actually a state-managed initiative, so it wasn't a council-managed initiative. Having said that, subsequent to having learned of the noise and odour complaint with that activity, we have reached out to the CEO of City Mission, who's will have agreements in place with Recycle Rewards and also with the chair of the statewide Waste Recovery and Resource Board, and also through them to the logistics companies that are involved as well. We're still waiting on some responses in regard to that, in what can be done with regard to noise and odour with that operation, and relocation may very well be one of those. So that would be my response to your first question, albeit we haven't got all the answers back from the state government at this point. In response to your second question, if I may, Mr. Mayor, as I've outlined, it's not a council program. Some councils are responsible for this particular program in their municipalities, but in this instance, it was City Mission that was directly involved.
Thank you
very much. So if I may just paraphrase, we are working our way through understanding what we can do about it. Once we've got a better grasp on it, we will liaise with you directly, and hopefully we can find a good compromise.
Right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further questions from the gallery? We'll move on. So I notice in the section... Yes, if you have another question, to the lectern, please. Mrs. Rainbow.
You were sending out amendment notices soon, will you, about cutting those
you know, grass down.
Abatement notice.
Yep, yep.
Not sure about exact timing, Andrew. Do you know, Rick, what time, when do we send out our first abatement notification?
November.
Typically, yeah.
Thanks for your question. Yes, typically this time of the year we send out early reminder notices to properties that we might have had to serve abatement notices on in previous years. There's lots of vacant land around, as you're aware. But what we've done at the moment is send out our initial lot of reminder notices around making sure your blocks of land are fire safe and well prepared. There'll be a second inspection of those over time, closer towards the end of the year, where any that haven't been addressed, actual abatement notices will be then issued. So it's a bit of an ongoing process over the next 3 to 4 months. But at the moment, those reminders have...
Remind you then to include numbers 113 to 115 Macquarie Street this time? Because last year there was nothing done, and I'm sure that it was well and truly over my head, and it's over my waist at present.
Right.
And we have a snake issue then. Thank you.
We'll take it on board. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Driver. Thank you, Rick. Okay, in section 5.4, I note the response provided to Mr. Barrett from the General Manager to his question at a previous council meeting. That leads us to section 6, the General Manager's declaration, which is noted. Thank you, Mr. Power. And that leads us to item 7, which is the Georgetown Council acting as a planning authority. And as I always do, I explain that councils are a planning authority. Each council acts as the planning authority for their municipality. In this role, councillors consider development applications and make administrative decisions that are based on the council's planning scheme. While councillors are obliged to consider the community's views, this does not mean they can vote in favour of those views while fulfilling the role of a planning authority. Councillors must make planning decisions based on whether a planning application is consistent with the local planning scheme, even if members of the community object to the planning proposal. That's a perfect segue to item 7.1, which is DA 2024/107 for 20 Henry Street in Hillwood. This is a residential single dwelling and outbuilding or optional secondary dwelling. Welcome to Justin Simons, our principal planner. Justin is in the habit of writing extraordinarily detailed reports. The report starts on page 14 and commences on page 36, where the recommendation is to approve, subject to what I would characterise as being more or less the usual conditions that are attached to these sorts of developments. To that end, can I call from the councillors present for a mover and a seconder, please, for this application? Our mover is Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. I actually had the occasion to bump into the proposer of this yesterday, and she took a long time to discuss with me what's going on and why, and I came to the conclusion that we should wholeheartedly approve this proposal.
Thank you very much, Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason, a seconder.
I agree with Mr. Harris, and also like to comment that another well documented and put together plan from our planner. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. With that, I'll open it to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions to our planner? Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, thank you. So I always like to acknowledge that people do take the time to put their representations in and be heard for their concerns, and as I was reading through, I was like, oh, yes, I agree. And then I would read a comment from Justin that reminds me that Part 5 don't hold any weight in planning in approving these matters, and that's what brought me back to ground. So whilst I understand that there's some concerns on either side, I do feel that the report with all the with the conditions, and the whilst I don't understand the reports with the land slip, I do acknowledge it's a suitably qualified person and that the recommendation is to approve, so I will be voting yes.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. Anyone else? I'll hand it back to our mover to close.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I've nothing further to add apart from the fact that I would like to approve the proposal.
Thank you very much, sir. With that, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Archer, you are an aye. Thank you. The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Okay, Section 8 is the Office of the General Manager. 8.1 reports on the Council workshops, the subjects which are being presented to your elected officials, as well as the attendance at those consecutive events. And a call for a mover and a seconder to note it. Councillor Mason is our mover, seconded by Councillor Orr. Councillor Mason?
Just to receive the report, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Orr?
It's been another busy month, and accept the report.
Thank you very much, Councillor Orr. Any speakers for or against or questions to? So we can put that one straight to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Thank you. That's 8-0. Motion carried unanimously. All right, as is our custom in item 8.2, once a year we produce an annual report in anticipation of the annual general meeting to report our community on the activities of your council in the preceding year, financial year. The report is attached, and the recommendation is to adopt the Council's annual report for 24-25. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Dawson is our mover, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Dawson?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Annual report's a statutory document required under Section 36R of the Local Government Act 1993. The annual report was provided to the 22nd of October audit panel meeting, including the annual financial report, the audit completion report, and the memorandum of audit findings. The 2025 annual general meeting will be held on the 13th of November 2025, commencing at 6 p.m, where the community will be invited to comment on the annual report. Now, the annual report is pretty much the document that tells us all about the work that happened between June 2024 and June 2025 and the activities of council. So it has information in there, all the financial reports and all the activities that we've been involved in as an organisation. And I think it's a pretty good read, and it's very good. Some of the metrics that we see in there, some of the measurements of service delivery that council and the officers in this building have delivered to our community, and I commend the report.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Councillor Mason?
A few words to from Councillor Dawson about the annual report. I'm a member of the audit panel, and it came to the audit panel on the 22nd of October meeting.
Thank you very much, sir. With that, I'll open to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions too?
I would also like to acknowledge the staff, hardworking staff have put this report together. It's very detailed, and I would like to acknowledge that, and thank you very much for all that.
Similarly, I think it's a good representation of the work conducted during the year. With that, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour of accepting the report, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. That leads us to item 8.3. Once a year, the Local Government Association of Tasmania calls on all of its constituent members, all 29 councils. We get together, we discuss all matters pertaining to the local government sector. And as usual, as part of that forum, there are debates on a number of motions. This year, there are 12 motions in total, which you're elected officials have conducted and discussed and reviewed during various different workshop sessions. which means that councillors have two choices. Either option one, as part of the recommendations, which is we vote individually on these blocks to reflect our aggregate views on these 12 different motions, or alternatively, bearing in mind that I understand your position, the option two, that the council determines that the mayor is authorised to vote at the ALGA general meeting of the 20th of November in accordance with council strategic direction, policy and council resolutions, with due consideration for any conference debate on items listed, as well as any amendments that arise as a consequence of that debate. Can I call for a mover and a seconder? And if the mover can indicate which option they
are. I'll move option two. The council determines that the mayor be authorised to vote at the LEGAT general meeting 20th of November 2025 in accordance with council's strategic direction, policy and council resolutions, with due consideration of any conference debate on items listed for discussion at that meeting.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Can I call for a seconder? We have a dead tie there, but I'm going to go with Councillor Dawson as our seconder. Councillor Orr, anything you want to say as a mover?
We have actually workshopped this twice because there were some additional motions came up since we discussed the last workshop, so we discussed again this morning, and we've gone through where we each council stands on certain items, and I will be attending that meeting, so I'll be making sure the mayor votes clean to our
feel the pressure.
But it, at those things can change, yeah, and people put other motions, other change of motions, amendments and so on, so it gives the mayor the option to vote contrary to what we believe in.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Dawson.
Now, I too will be attending this meeting to see that the mayor votes in our best interest and within the confines of council policy. We have a number of items that are there. One is inclusion of for equal opportunity people from Kingwood Council. There's one from Central Highlands Council around planning guidelines. There's a number of different items there. Georgetown Council put one in around the Boundary Fences Act that we're hoping for support on, and I will be very keen to see how the mayor represents that. And I think it came from a motion that Councillor Lowe put up recently and has now been accepted onto the GAT agenda, so I think that's a pretty commendable thing. I think it's been a little while since Georgetown's actually had a motion go there. It might have been a domestic sexual violence is the last one from Councillor Brooks that we put forward, so I think it's good that we're actually back on the agenda down there.
Thank you, sir. With that, I'll open it to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions to? Councillor Harris.
No, I too will be attending the conference, and I will be making sure that all the necessary statements are adhered to.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Councillor Harris. All right, there being no further questions, I'll hand it back to Councillor Orr to close. Yes, he's moved option two. He's moved the second recommendation.
So I'd just like to add, in summary, I didn't actually want to hear when we discussed and moved the motion, what we bring up, and this is what support our motion we've got forward. Someone who does drive on rural roads and do come across sheep and cattle on the road occasionally, or actually more than I'd like to, I'm glad we've put that motion up.
Yes.
Nothing further than that.
All right. Well, to that end, we'll now put the motion to vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson. Against? Against?
Well, I don't know
whether
I'm against or not.
Well, the debate, time for debate has ceased.
I actually haven't heard Councillor Orr, who moved the motion, reference the numbers down here of how we were voting.
I understand that you have a few personal challenges today with the audio, but he clearly indicated that he has moved the second recommendation from the council staff. That is it. He's moved the second recommendation.
Page 54.
From 153 to the whole list.
And page 54?
Yeah.
Or unlock?
Yes, that's fine. Okay. I'm not moving. No.
So you've had zero no? Okay, the motion is carried 7-1, noting Councillor Barwick against. Thank you. Item 8.4, the future of local government review. Oh boy, oh boy.
So before you move on, Mr. Chairman,
the
ratepayers actually are not knowing what we're actually voting for that don't come to the meeting or don't see the agenda. That's why I'm questioning why it was not listed, how we were voting, even though this says all.
So, through the chair to the general manager, just to explain how we report back to our community on our voting preferences at the LGED meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have done it in various ways in the past. We have simply distributed that to council. Other times, it's been via uploading them to the councillor's internet site, and at other times we've actually published it, the motions in an agenda. So if council wants to direct the general manager to include that into a future agenda, I'm happy to do so. The other thing is that minutes will be published by ALGAT themselves as well and made publicly available through their website.
Including the voting process. Thank you very much. All right, that takes us to item 8.4. As I mentioned, the future of local government review. And this time we are debating, or we will be considering, a potential reduction in the number of elected members across the sector from 263 different councillors to 202, and then a baseline increase of roughly 14.25% when those reduced allowance numbers are then redistributed. The baseline increase would be 14.25%. Comes with a number of challenges. I'll speak from my own side to say that certainly there is a high degree of work that needs to be done in terms of maintaining quorum, making sure that leave and those sorts of things is appropriately managed to make sure that we can appropriately represent our community, as well as a number of other areas. But an interesting exercise. The officer's recommendation notes feedback provided in line with managing quorum, whether or not, and in this case, we will not be supporting a mandatory superannuation contribution, and that a request is that the ongoing framework for council allowances be embedded in future legislation. To that end, can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? A mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, you've introduced the motion very well. You've stole my thunder. But briefly, there will be 60 less councillors. That's their proposal. That will reduce our numbers from 9 to 7. Those that have 7 now will reduce to 5. Am I correct?
That is correct. Oh, and so for us, it would be from 9 down to 7.
That's exactly right. So the council will have to put a little bit more effort to get elected if this comes into force. The good thing about it is I expect all councillors that are elected will get a 14.25% increase in their annual allowance. I'm not too sure it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll see what happens when it comes along. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mason. Councillor Dawson, the seconder.
Thank you. So the officer's recommendation reads as this. The council, one, submit feedback on the proposed reform in line with the following. In considering implications for Georgetown Council supports the proposed reform and provides the following. A, should the government consider any strategic guidance for or strategies guidance for council decision making where a quorum cannot be maintained? The answer is yes. B, should it be mandatory for council or existing superannuation equivalent payments to be directed into a nominated superannuation fund? We as a group say no. C, should the methodology and ongoing review framework for council allowances and numbers be embedded in legislation? And we say yes. Point two was provide council submission to Legat for a sector-wide submission that we're voting on today. I think the support for Georgetown Council to reduce their numbers is admirable, and I believe if we are still in an environment where there's still 29 councils, then I think the only smart thing to do is reduce the number of councillors to get down to a manageable number. So I'm supportive of this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. With that, I'll open it to the floor for speakers for or against or questions to Councillor Barwick.
Thank you. I think the joke, the comments made in the background here where the comments made that freeing up the councillors is to increase councillor allowances. I mean, for God's sake, when I first started, you never got paid to be a councillor. You were volunteers. And it wasn't for the money. It was never about the money. It was about doing a job. Still not about the money to me, as far as I'm concerned. That's a job. Also, the other thing that I have concerns about, the comments they make where improved governance, and how are they going to incur that? They are actually, by dropping down to seven councillors will be responsible for 1,100 odd councillors, each councillor in our municipality. I think we all work for 7,000. We don't divert our how many people we work for as a council. Anyone wins us up. You know, some get lots of phone calls, some don't. I mean, that to me gives me is not. But you know, the issue that I have with this going back to seven. We were 12 councillors when I first came on. They wanted to amalgamate us then. When back in 1996, didn't happen. Denise Swan was the Minister for Local Government. It did not happen. They then decided, well, we'll go down to nine councillors. We accepted nine councillors. They then suggested that they'd like to go down to five or seven at that time. Didn't happen, so now they've already made the decision. It doesn't matter what we say around here. The decision's already been made to what's going to happen. Consultation, it says, should the government consider any strategies and guidance for council decision making where a quorum cannot be maintained? How does this happen? To me, that is a part of this consultation as well. We should go to hell. If we don't have a quorum, well then we bring the item back to the next meeting if it's available to be able to come back to the next meeting, or we call a special meeting. It doesn't have to be at a council meeting, guys. And I don't agree with that. I agree with the councillor's allowances being embedded in the legislation. It virtually has been there and sat there for years and years, and it's always been the CPI that was given to councillors when they thought about it. But maybe that should be like the state government embedded in legislation. So the time we as a council used that to sit around this table and vote whether we were going to give ourselves $10, $100, and nobody wants to vote for it because we didn't want to be sitting here making decisions for us to have money. So to me, again, that should be completely out of our hands, like state government on that one. I know that the officer's recommendation here says, should the government consider any strategies, it says it in our decision, for council decision making where it cannot, it says the recommendation is yes. I'm saying no, I don't support it at all. Should it be mandatory for councillors, existing superannuation equivalent payments to be directed into nominated superannuation funds? It says no. I'm saying give councillors a pay rise and don't call it super. You know, I mean, what? And then somewhere it suggests a super be paid by the council. Should the methodology and ongoing review framework for councillors' allowances and numbers be embedded in legislation? I've said yes, but as for numbers in legislation, yeah, that's fine, but I'm not voting for this as I think when you really read it and delve into it, it's really not for the benefit of the community anyway.
Thank you, Councillor Box. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Archer.
In principle, I'm not against this recommendation. I would like to see the submission before it is sent out. I do have a bit of an issue with the discussion paper on page 278 of our attachments, which is page 10 of the government's discussion paper. Under superannuation, on the second paragraph, they state that councillors are not regarded as employees for taxation and superannuation purposes. Now, I believe that they're not regarded as employees for superannuation purposes. However, I think they're in certain circumstances that councillors would indeed be considered as their income would be considered as taxable.
Absolutely.
In circumstances where it is the councillor's primary income and primary occupation. So I don't think that the submission from DPAC, or the Office of Local Government, is entirely correct there, and given that that's Commonwealth taxation law, I don't think it's within their wheelhouse, and they probably have made comment there that's not entirely correct. I would like the submission to point that out. So the rest of it, I'm happy to vote yourself out of a job. The rest of it, in principle, I've got no problems with. However, I'd like to see the nuances of the submission before it's sent out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer.
Any other thing?
Councillor Orr?
Yes, thank you. So councillors have got an option to make their own submission as well, to point that out as well. So if you don't agree with this submission, you can make your own. We did workshop at the last full-day workshop. Well, a number of councillors wasn't able to attend that workshop, so just note that as well. Due to the short turnaround from the state government at that workshop. Just clarifying what Councillor Mason said before, some councils are going from 9 to 5 as well, not all going from 9 to 7 as well. So, and those councils are going from 9 to 7, we've probably got one of the lower population base as well going down to 7. I agree with him. We've got probably the RO governing this state. We do have too many councils the size of the state, and definitely too many councils as well, so I'm for reducing the number of councillors. We do need to pay councillors a fair amount of money. You want to attract a different cohort. You keep hearing the times just for retirees and business people, and that's because they can afford to represent the community. And I would love to see a different cohort of a community be able to be a councillor and represent their part of their community. So going from 9 to 7, I think that still gives the option. Having the allowance increase, that will not support people having time off work to come and do the work that is required to be a councillor, even though a higher rank of the mayor or deputy mayor. Regarding the aspect of quorums, we do note that a lot of our planning matters, because we only meet once a month with the big council, the city council meet twice a month, we have to apply for extensions on all of our planning matters. So if a planning matter does come to council, we can't defer a planning matter if we haven't got a quorum. If we haven't got a quorum, then it goes back to the GM to decide. And me personally, I would rather have the councillors be able to decide that matter. So I just want to note that as well. That did happen at city council just recently as well. Regarding super, I don't agree with vetoing though. I think we've quite shook in the stage now that we are, according to the paperwork, that we are sort of reimbursed for super already. But it would be better to have that called out. They're now contractors, probably will pay contractors super as well. So I think the next step is for councils to be able to receive super as well. But I'll be still supporting it, just that little note, so I note. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. Any final speakers before I move to close?
Before you do close, Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
You may.
My question is, it says instruct the General Manager to write to the office confirming his support of the proposed proposal.
That's a different motion. I think you're on the next motion.
Okay.
This one, have a look on page 57. That's the recommendation.
Oh, I'm jumping here.
You jumped ahead.
Sorry. I turned two pages.
Oh, don't worry. You're in tremendous company.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Mr. Mason.
All righty, Councillor Mason's closed.
Thank you, Mayor. This motion has generated some good commentary, which is good. Thank you.
We'll put that one to a vote. All of those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr and Councillor Dawson. Against we have Councillor Barwick. I missed Did you have your hand up? Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, so the motion is carried by 7-1.
Excuse me? My hand was up. It was counted.
All right, come on around and have an orderly meeting. Question is
open.
All right. Item 8.5. So, this, as I mentioned earlier on, is one of three separate different local government association things that are happening. The second one is that the government has come up with a broader bill at reforming the local government sector. It is not as expansive as what we had hoped, given the considerable amount of time that has passed since the last review. So on one level, we appreciate Minister Vincent's expediting of the important components of review, and that's effectively what is contained within this. It's a good way to extinguish some spot fires, but it still lacks the larger, more holistic view that is required for the segment. So this is a bill for consideration. It's a consultation piece. The officer's recommendation on page 60, or the recommendation to the council, is to instruct the general manager to write to the Office of Local Government confirming its support for the proposed amendments to the Local Government Act, adding that the council seeks an amendment to the role of councils as defined in section 19A1D of the draft bill with regard to climate mitigation, and to recognise the resource constraints of local governments. The way that it currently words is it pretty much so implies that councils are responsible for dealing with the fallout of climate change, which I think is wholly unrealistic. Anyway, to that effect, I'll call for a mover and a seconder, please. Not all at once, everyone. Once again, I'll call for a mover or a seconder, please. And this is for item 8.5. The motion has lapsed, so we will not respond to that or participate, given that there's no mover or seconder. One more time. No. Okay. Section 9, infrastructure and development. There is nil. Section 10, corporate and community. Section 10.1 discusses an incredibly important part of council's operations and of our community fabric, and that is with how we deal with our volunteers. So this will be our draft volunteer policy. I'll welcome Cheryl Hyde, our Director of Corporate and Community. Suffice to say that our volunteers are critical to the way we conduct ourselves, to the way that we're able to deliver services to our community. They man so many of our facilities, our attractions. They give freely, and we are truly appreciative of all that they do. And so in presenting this policy, the aim is to provide a bit more structure and a little bit more clarity around how we deal with those vital and highly valued volunteers. So there are three options, the recommendation is to adopt the volunteer policy, which has been workshopped on various different occasions, and I'm going to call for a mover and a seconder, please. Mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Orr. Thank you. Councillor Mason.
The Mayor introduced the motion very well, so I'll move the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Orr.
Thank you. So as an organisation, we have a number of volunteers working at our venues throughout the municipality, and we also now looking into more event aspects where we get volunteer talent for events. So now looking at doing a volunteer policy. We note that this has been workshopped the first time. We wasn't overly kind of the first one was presented to us, so the officers have come back with what we find a better sort of policy. Last time was more procedures in the policy, so I'm happy to support this policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. With that, I'll open to the floor. Any speakers for or against or questions to Councillor Lowe?
Yes, thank you. So this morning I did ask the question of Cheryl, which was with regard to who supervises or is responsible for ensuring that our volunteers are well equipped and well aware of their responsibilities that fall out in being a volunteer of Georgetown Council. And so I'm happy that it's not a designated staff member in the sense that it'll be a HR function, but I am just wondering if that would be something that we would include in our policy, that it would be a function of HR to take volunteering coordination. I don't know if that's something that we should stipulate in our policy. I happen it to be blank, but it was just something that I was querying who would be responsible for.
Good question. Through the chair to the Director of Corporate and Community.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, the onboarding of the volunteers would be largely HR responsibility. The actual management would be dependent upon which departments that they're working within, or whether it's one of our tourist attractions, or whether it's, as Councillor Orr rightly said, might be in an event or the like. So whoever's in charge of that area would be in charge of that, would be overseeing those volunteers on a day-to-day basis, but the onboarding would be the same as an onboarding of any employee of council. It would be a HR function to ensure that we've got all policies and procedures and the like fully explained and signed off.
Thanks for that clarification.
Any other questions or speakers for or against? I think we'll hand it back to Councillor Mason to close.
Nothing further. Thank you.
We'll put that on to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyes, Councillor Mason, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson against. Councillor Bowen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, okay. All right. Item 11, that's strategy, performance and development. And item 11.1, I'm delighted to present this motion, which is a fitting tribute to Peter Cox, a much-loved member of our community. I had the great pleasure of sharing some time with Peter in Rotary. Peter also shares the distinguished honour of posthumously being awarded the Order of Australia. And I think many of us can relate to some of the incredible talks and presentations which Peter was able to present, amongst his numerous other achievements. But nonetheless, the proposal is that we name a walkway in Tamar Avenue the Peter Cox Walkway, which I think would be a wonderful proposal, and get that formally registered through Place Names Tasmania. To that effect, can I please call for a mover and a seconder? Moved by Councillor Dawson, seconded by Councillor Archer. Councillor Dawson.
Thank you, and like the Mayor said, fitting tribute for a man that was valued by our community. The summary is, the request has been put forward by the close family and friends of the late Freddie Cox. Mr. Cox, as I knew him, as a school teacher at Port Arundel School, formerly of Georgetown High. And it also includes a request for the installation of a seat and a bin in the area so that people can sit there and reflect in the space. Late Peter Cox is a decorated member of the community who dedicated many hours of his life to history, education and community service. Late Mr. Cox was recently awarded a posthumous Order of Australia Medal for his service to the community of Georgetown. And the walkway is located at the southern end of Tamar Avenue in Georgetown. It leads down to what locals refer to as Pebble Beach. The walkway crosses Crown Land, which is leased by council and also council-owned land. Place names have been advised that a walkway is classed as a cultural feature and will need to follow a process to formalise the name. I put this motion forward, and I think it's a fitting tribute to a lovely guy that did a lot for our community over many, many years. He will be missed.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dawson. Councillor Archer, a second.
Yeah, this has been hard to follow up that one. You didn't have to know Peter Cox very well to know that he was a genuine good person, and respect came from dedication to what he put his time towards, you know. Whether it be school children, you know, that dealt with him years ago and still talk of him fondly, you know, or whether it be later in life where his dedication to history and things like Regent Square and so on, and you know, that goes on through other people in the community these days. But a genuine bloke who you couldn't not like. Very fitting, I think, and I'd like to see place names, Tasmania, adopt this. Thank you.
Any questions? With that, I'll open it to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions to? There being none, we'll put it in card.
Yes, you read. So I met Pete more recently in my life, as in, I didn't actually go to the George Hammond School. I mean, through a number of committees. He was involved in the tourism committee, and he was also on the Future Impact Group. And so he had held a number of different roles. So a lot of our councillors would have been the same on different committees, just paid to be there. So I think this is a good way to recognise Peter. It's good that he's got some nice support from the community and his family as well. So I'm happy to support this motion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Dawson to close. I missed one. Sorry, Councillor Barwick, I missed you there.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to ask a question first. There was a letter written that had concerns about the slope and the issues of maybe on that track. So my question is, does the council have to do any work on that track so that the walking track is able to be utilised now? Because I'm not sure, with the letter that's in the attachment, it talks about the concerns of someone being hurt going over the bank or, you know, going over the edge and that. So can anyone just say, is it passing this today, we're not going to have an issue with that?
Through the chair to the Director of Strategy and Performance Development.
Thanks, Councillor. Yes, the comments were noted. The naming of Peter Cox Walkway in recognition of the great support that he gave his community over many years, it doesn't add or change the fact that the park currently exists, or the area currently exists. It's not expected that the name change would typically create any more use than it currently gets. However, as with every asset that we have, bearing in mind that part of it is council-owned and there is a small section that is owned by the Crown, we would look at any asset in terms of condition and look at ongoing maintenance as a matter of course.
I asked that question because it was broached to me about us doing agreeing to this if there was an issue. And okay, just like all our gravel footpaths, etc., we maintain and we look after them, so forth. But Peter Cox himself, I love listening to his history. He could tell a story and he'd get you in. He knew his history, and a great old gentleman of our town.
Thank you very much, Councillor Barwick. Councillor Dawson's close.
Sorry.
Yes,
Councillor.
Well, so look at
that. Make sure I took the opportunity to also say that I didn't know Mr. Cox as a teacher. I knew him as a principal when I got to sit outside of his office door on many occasions.
Stark admissions here.
No, so he was a gentle giant. So he swayed the way he walked, the way he conducted himself. I even don't recall having a bad word to say about him at any time. I did have the pleasure of sitting on a number of committees with him, and also he was good friends with my dear neighbour, so I'd run into him, and he was able to share a few secrets, and one that I shake my fist at him one of his biggest regrets was, in his words, helping run out Banjo's Bakery when it was in Georgetown. So I shake my fist at him now, but just acknowledge, yeah, the great work that he did over, be it church, children, or the history of our community. Yeah, he did everything. And, yeah, I just wanted to also acknowledge that, yeah, I had the good fortune to support this motion because of him. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. And Councillor Dawson, third time lucky.
Thank you. Just in summation, I'd like to recognise both Sally and David, Peter's son and daughter, have been instrumental in the support for this by letter. Absolutely lovely people. Chip off our block from their father, and Bill Humphreys and his cohort of friends who have put a little bit of motivation behind this to motivate council into doing what they've been able to advocate for in this space. I've put the motion.
To that effect, I will therefore put it to the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Looks like I've missed one. Too late. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, against Councillor Harris. Motion is carried 7-1.
Can I have a quick comment?
Yes.
In the agenda, this item was actually Grammar's gone in the system again, missed the item. Yeah, so it's pretty much recognised.
We'll be in a minute. Thank you. And apologies, Councillor Harris. Sorry, I just missed your hand. I know you seemed like you wanted to say a few words. Oh, sorry, mate. Apologies. Oh, well. Section 12, Office of the Mayor, item 12.1, details various different matters of involvement for the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, and any councillors who want to contribute.
Move.
We have our mover in Councillor Archer, thank you very much. Seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Archer's mover, you might as well take it away, and if you have questions to ask, you might as well do it all at the same time.
No.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
Fine, thank you.
Any speakers for or against the questions too? We'll put them on to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Which leads us to section 13, which is petitions. And this month we have nil, which I'm going to take as being a good sign. Section 14, notices of motions. Item 14.1.
A motion to defer.
Okay. We have a procedural motion, which is a motion to defer from Councillor Orr. Given my Lisa recent schooling, the motion that you have moved. So the motion, all debate will cease. We'll put that one immediately to the vote. All of those in favour of deferring, please raise your hand or say aye. No, all debate has ceased. So we are voting. Nope, I'm sorry. Councillor Orr just moved a procedural motion, a motion to defer. So once more, I'm going to put it to the vote. All of those in favour of deferring the motion, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, we have Councillor Harris, we have Councillor Orr, we have Councillor Dawson against. We have Councillor Barwick, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Archer, and we have Councillor Lowe. So that records 4-4, which means that the motion is lost. So, item 14.1, Councillor Barwick, you are the mover. Please take it away.
Thank you.
Point of order. Can we have a seconder?
Ah, beg your pardon. We do need a seconder. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Can we have a seconder for Councillor Barwick's motion, which is Councillor Archer? Take it away.
Mr. Chairman, with all that happened at lunchtime,
I actually know what's going to happen here now. But so I'll still go ahead and do what I'm going to be doing and saying. I submit this notice of motion in accordance with section 19 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2025 to rescind part of a resolution which was adopted by Council at its meeting held on the 29th of April 2025. This notice of motion seeks to reinstate all Council laws to the General Manager's Performance Review Panel alongside the Mayor and Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Barber. Councillor
Barber. My motion is pursuant to Section 22 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025 and by absolute majority rescinds the decision made at the Council meeting on the 29th of April 2025 to appoint a councillor chosen by the council and a proxy councillor chosen by the council as panel members for the General Manager's Performance Review Panel, and to approve the appointment of all councillors as members of the General Manager's Performance Review Panel with the annual 360-degree survey being undertaken transparently with all respondents identified. Speaking to my motion, Mr. Chairman, I realise that the last month I put this forward but not considering the fact that there had already been made a decision that needed to be rescinded. I would now like, I spent ages trying to revert this back to our strategic plan. Everything we quote is the strategic plan. Now, our linkage to the strategic plan is Council's mission is to strive to achieve the community's vision of a vibrant, engaged and diverse municipality through the provision of quality and affordable services, the usage of available assets and resources, the application of sound governance principles and prudent financial management, and a focus on sustainability in all that we do. Having said that, in order to fully fulfil our role as councillors, in the role of a councillor as defined by Section 28 of the Local Government Act under Tasmanian Government Act 1993, that having all councillors participate in this important function is accountable, transparent and responsible. I know at the last meeting when this was brought up before, the comment came up about local government association. I read what the local government association would like to do as an association, and that is have only three members to be able to direct, talk and do the general manager's review and then bring the report back to the table to the other councillors. But we all are employees of the general manager, not just employers of the general manager, not three people only. The Local Government Association the question was asked at the table last month, was the general manager involved in that review, discussion with local government? And the answer was yes. So to me, okay, all general managers would not want an entire council, but I have spoken to the general manager today about my motion. He has no issues with what I'm putting forward with his conversation to me. Others, I don't know, but I take the word of what he has had to say to me. He doesn't have an issue with what I'm trying to do here today. But I believe we should all have our say. My motion encompasses what happened when in the closed session. The closed session said you wanted people to be responsible and put their names to what they have to say. Now, I've included that in my discussion here today and in my motion. I've now made this all be part of what was discussed in closed session. So I can't see any reason as to why we are not going to do the full council permit to talk and understand what is going through with and be involved with the 360 and be part of it. I'll read it at that the moment.
Thank you to Councillor Barwick. Councillor Archer is seconder.
I was going to think about reserving to hear what other people say, but very comprehensive there from Councillor Barley. I think we've got this bit of an issue with the current setup of doing the general manager review, where there isn't a mechanism to take into account the whole breadth of the views of different councillors, the same as the views of the panel members that are taken into account. To me, as Councillor Barwick pointed out, we're all employers of the general manager, but to only have, you know, a third of the employers of the general manager doing his review and disregarding any input or not allowing any input from other councillors, just that alone to me represents problems. I support this motion and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. With that, I'll open it to the floor to speakers for or against or questions too. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So this one has been around for a while, obviously, in different forms. I have flim-flammed on this. I voted in April to change to the current format that it is, and when it was last brought to Council for a decision to rescind, I can't recall the exact motion, but the intent was to change it from the current format, to which I agreed. So I really look forward to being informed and a decision made. I really am sitting on the fence. I do appreciate that we are all employers of the general manager, and I think that in its own means that we do have an accountability and responsibility to our general manager to be frank and fearless and have those conversations. And I'm not sure if there's another format in which we would do that if it wasn't inside this, even the opportunity. And I just think that if the role is to meet as a collective, I can appreciate that, but also understand how we got here and where we come from. And I think that maybe the chance to have identities revealed for comments made may just be the solution that we're looking for, but I'm also tossing up between giving this process that we've just implemented and where everyone's going as a preferred method, that maybe that's why it wouldn't hurt to stay on here. So I'm unsure at this time, but I'm happy to hear and be swayed. Thank you.
Councillor Orr.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'd just like to note that I was for changing it back in April, if that's Councillor Orr's saying, because there was a couple of little issues with it. Going through the process, I'm not happy with having three councillors on the panel. I think it should be more of a broader range of members. Saying that, when this motion was last up back in August, so 2 weeks ago, I was involved with training. So I wasn't privileged to the pre-workshop discussions or the discussions on that day. That's why today at workshop I gave the opportunity for Councillor Barwick to explain more of her motion, which she declined, because I'm not for lunchtime deals. As Councillor Barwick said before, we're the only so-called lunchtime deals. I would have rather had that discussion as all the councillors, and also I would have been asked to get the private information on hand as well for today's meeting. So if there's anything from the GAT or the state government, I would like that on hand as well before I make the final decision. So I'm for increasing the numbers back to where they were, but I'm going to abstain from voting as per why I want to defer back to a workshop to have further discussions. There's no rush to put this through. The GM review is not until, well, I think it's actually April. We normally do that about in May. There's a half yearly one coming up. That's only a short one. Last time, I think there's only one, maybe two councillors actually attended that half yearly review. So there's no rush to get this through. So that's why I was happy to defer it to a workshop. So I'll be abstaining. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers for or against the questions? And it's to you. Oh, Councillor Dawson.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to it. This is the third time this issue has come to the table in recent memory. And I admire the part two where we hoping that it would be undertaken transparently with all respondents identified. The reason why that's come up, the previous iterations of the General Manager review, comments came in that were anonymous and were disgusting. Now, we don't know who put those comments forward, whether it was a councillor or a member of staff or someone from the public. We're not sure. 360 review pulls people in from all different parts of our circle, I suppose. The reason why this council, the people around this table, voted to reduce the numbers down and take it a little bit more in-house was partly because we've got an obligation to our general manager and his mental health and wellbeing. And those sorts of comments...
Point of order.
Those sorts of comments cannot be made.
Just give me a second, councillors. What's the substantiation of your points of order?
Look, I think Councillor Dawson's running a pretty fine line of exposing council to some risk in comments he's making about previous stuff and why an opening to inquiry and not in closed session. I'm just a bit worried about exposure to risk. Thank you.
I acknowledge your point of concern. I think at this stage, Councillor Dawson, as you say, is walking that fine line successfully. I'm going to give him some latitude and some trust that he continues to be as cautious as he is currently being. Continue to Councillor Dawson.
Thank you, and I appreciate the prompt from Councillor Archer as well.
Point of order again, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Councillor
Bowles. My point of order is I never mentioned anything about how we got here and what Councillor Lowe said. about how we got here was quite okay, but to go to this track is not okay. It's outside of my motion.
I disagree with you, Councillor Barwick. I think that it is material specific to the item that we're discussing. Again, noting the sensitive balancing act, and again, I'll just appeal to Councillor Dawson, just continue to be very cautious, please, sir.
Thank you. So the Legat best practice guide is four members of council would be representative on the general manager's review panel. That was put to this group and the general manager, and one of those representatives would be to represent, in effect, the general manager. He declined that representation, so we sit at three, which is made up of the mayor, the deputy mayor, and another councillor, which has been Councillor Orr. There's currently a Raise the Tone campaign that's being run out on the media in our community statewide because of the way that people in local government are treated by people in the public, and I think the opportunity for our council to capture this throughout this process and to protect our main employer of all of our employees, this is our opportunity to do that. So while I won't support going back to where we came from, and I believe this motion does just that. So I will not be supporting this in its current form or any other form.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. I will speak to the motion myself through air of pragmatism, noting the excellent contributions of Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, Councillor Lowe, and numerous others. It's a complicated topic. But to me, it's more a question of pragmatism more than it is of anything else. So the local government sector, represented by ALGAT, has reviewed all the reviewing practices across all 29 councils, the mainland, the broader picture. They've sought advice, they've done a depth of work in trying to establish a model reviewing process, what they consider to be the best reviewing process. Now, no matter what your perspective, I'm sure that there are going to be differences in opinion as to whether or not you personally think that that is exactly the best or not, but that is the recommendation from the sector. And so what the Georgetown Council, in your foresight, what the selected member panel has done is we have effectively preemptively implemented the recommendations from ALGAT. It's great to be early to the party in one sense. But I think the error of pragmatism is that this is where the entire sector is going to go. As has been in the case in the past, when ALGAT implements a model policy, there's broad adoption. And I anticipate that this will become, in future, the broadly consistent way that general managers are reviewed. And so, yay, we are early. And yes, I totally acknowledge what Councillor Orr has said. There is some refinement, and I think Councillor Dawson has also intimated that there is some refinement, and I personally agree with that position, that there is some refinement. But I will not be supporting the motion because it is retrospective. It goes back to where we were. And I think that that's not the way forward. I think the way forward is we work with the model structure supported and approved by the local government sector. We provide our contribution to them as early adopters, recommending some amendments and tweaks to that process so we can get this thing to look a little bit more like what we consider to be the best working compromise. I don't think that going back to an all-council policy serves that purpose in any way. So, no, I won't be supporting this one. All right, so I think almost everyone has
a question.
You have a question, Councillor Lowe?
Can my memory be refreshed, please? I participated, obviously, the first time round in its format, and then when it was changed in April, I wasn't able to attend on the day, but I did read the reports and come to the council table and was part of the workshop. I am unsure
of how the elected members have an advantage over the members that aren't. So if someone can just explain, when I say advantage, that's not the word I'm looking for. I'm wanting to know how those that aren't on the panel are affected when wanting to put points of views across around experiences or recommendations. What is it that those not on the board?
Again, and this is going to be very, very tricky. I'm sure that I'll be shot down for many of my observations. So in a normal year, in a normal process, everyone's reviews are still collected as part of a 360 process. That's the normal way. And granted, last year we didn't have the luxury of that process because we had certain complications. I'm not going to go there, out of trust. So normally you would be able to have your view expressed. The only difference being that a select panel will do the formal in-depth reviewing and then will present a recommendation to the board at a formal council meeting. It is purely a recommendation that tries to amalgamate all of that input, full 360 reviews, in-depth, at which point any councillor can still move a contrary motion. They can object, they can move an amendment, much as they do today. So you have the full range of options in terms of what you want to do. Simply, the panel presents the recommendation for debate. So I'm not so sure whether that presents an advantage. I'm not so sure. I think it just means that the process is more succinct and is a little bit more refined. I hope I've done a decent job of answering your question. I'm not so sure I have.
Two parts. So I think it did answer some, but then raised different questions. So I'm thinking if we all have the same opportunities at some point in another, then why not just from the get-go? Why not just be all on the interview panel? But then I heard the part around the refinement. And so I can appreciate that we all get an opportunity, but it's just at what point in time, I guess. So thanks. I'm glad for those thoughts.
Thank you very much. I'm going to hand it back to...
I've got a question.
Do you have a question?
It's in relation to something that Councillor Lowe's brought up. So with the direct previous general manager's review, did all councillors have the opportunity to have input, and was all that, and if so, what was all that input considered in the review process?
I've got to be very, very careful here. I'm going to just seek some guidance before I respond to that, because some of the...
I just asked that because you sort of suggested that councillors had input and we went to the future. I don't think you're correct.
No, let me seek what I can or cannot divulge, but I know that what I can say with clarity is that a full 360-degree process was embarked upon, and I can acknowledge that the data in that 360 process was corrupted, which meant that its usefulness was effectively tainted. So whether or not that fully answers your question, I'm not so sure.
So you're saying that no input of any councillors was considered during the general manager's review?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Well, the question was pretty simple. Like, was the, I think you're trying to lead people in a different direction.
They're trying to...
Oh, yeah, I know. But the question...
The sensitivity of the situation.
Yeah, my question was quite simple, though. Like, were all councillors, the input, did all councillors have the opportunity to have input into the process that was adopted and reviewed? Not what was embarked on previously and discarded.
Yes, in terms of the process, absolutely. There was a formal motion that went to council that presented the process which we were going to adopt, and that was adopted by council by an overwhelming majority.
No, I think you're totally missing. I'm talking about
point of review.
That was a question.
Well, I'm not trying to debate. I'm trying to get a clear answer because I think the mayor's trying to steer us in some other direction.
I'm not so sure I can give you a straight answer, which is really where I'm heading to. I'm not so sure I'm going to satisfy where you're going. I
tried to make it as clear and concise as possible.
I'm not so sure I can. And it's not through not wanting to, it's simply because I just cannot necessarily answer it. It's a tricky situation, and I think it leads us into a difficult place. I think we've had a good debate. I think it's been a good debate.
Can I ask another question?
You may ask another question.
Thank you. So in this future review, a 360 survey will be available if we are in its current format. A 360 review will be available.
Correct.
From councillors.
Correct. The exact nature of that has yet to be determined. There is a bit of a movable feast, as in it is being refined year on year, and acknowledging the complications we had last year, I'm sure that there will be some changes. I suspect it will probably not be anonymised.
Thank you.
Councillor,
Well, question. We
can't confirm that.
We're all councillors. This is probably why I like to workshop. We like to workshop this. Yeah. Will all councillors be able to see the results of such survey?
Oh, I so want to answer that, but it's circumstantial. I think it needs to be workshopped. I can't answer. I share your good common sense there. I really do, because I think that personally think that that is a direction that would be helpful for everybody. But let me not foreshadow an outcome. Let me rather say that if there's room here to workshop a refined process, but I iterate, and this is my personal view, not the position of council, I'm more than reluctant to throw the baby out with the bathwater and revert back to what we had before. I think we can work with what we've done, we can move in the direction of the sector and refine and improve.
On the present view, we're councillors on the panel able to talk to other councillors about any concerns they had before the review?
Absolutely. 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 Councillor Mason.
I thought I'd better say something.
Everyone else says, you might as well. Welcome to the party.
Well, the process was quite simple, really. All councillors were invited to sit in.
Yeah.
And listen to all the comments and the debates and whatever. And I think there's only me and Heather came, but everybody could have come. They could have heard everything that was said, and they can make up their own mind, in their own mind, what was said, and take it from there. It's quite a simple exercise, really. If you come and sit and you have a problem with what was said or what was done, well, you can raise that. You can.
When the motion.
Point of order.
The rule.
You can't raise it at the meeting, but you can raise it elsewhere. There's other formats where you can raise it.
But when the motion is presented to council, it's debated
right.
Like any other motion.
Exactly right, sir. All the information will be there for you to follow.
Correct.
Procedural motion to put the motion.
Okay, so we have a procedural motion from Councillor Dawson to put the motion, and to that effect then we will immediately vote on this item. So the motion as presented is on the board. It says, it's a procedural motion to put the motion. We're going to put it to a vote, in other words. We're going to put it as it stands there. So the motion before you is on the board and basically says, Councillor Barr says, pursuant to Section 22 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulation 2025, a absolute majority rescind the decision made at the Council's meeting on the 29th of April 2025 to appoint a councillor chosen by the Council and a proxy councillor chosen by the Council as panel members for the General Manager's Performance Review Panel and approves the appointment of all councillors as members of the General Manager's Performance Review Panel with the annual team.
I'm going to call
the
point of order, Mr.
Chair.
Point of order, Chair.
Okay.
There's a point of order called. There's a point of order called. You are deceased, all business. No, you are deceased. And ask what the point of order is.
Thank you.
Understand.
Point of order to you, Councillor Archer. Let's give me a chance.
My point of order, Mr. Chairman, is that Councillor Dawson has already spoken on this motion, he cannot move that the motion be put.
You certainly can. Yeah.
I have.
He absolutely can. I'm sorry. Point of order is denied.
I beg your pardon.
The point of order is denied, Councillor Barwick. We are in a procedural motion. We are now going to put this to a vote. Sorry, point of order. That's enough. All right. We are now going to vote on this. You know what you are voting on. All of those in favour of the motion as it is before you, please raise your hand or say aye. I have nobody.
What are you asking?
I'm taking the vote for the item as it appears before you.
Point of order.
Straight to you.
Point of order.
Yes, let's hear it.
Point of order is Councillor Dawson has put a motion that the motion be put. Right?
What to vote? It's correct.
No, please do not interrupt me. The motion to be voted on should be whether or not the motion is to be put, or whether or not we allow it to continue. And Councillor Barwick,
just the debate we had prior to this?
Absolutely not, Mayor. Absolutely not. It is very clear in the regulations. It's very clear.
I'm going to take a pause, and I'm going to seek assistance here.
I think you need that maybe some more assistance.
All right, so let's do this. Okay, so first, please take a seat, councillors, so we can continue with the meeting. All right. So back to what I've always done before, prior to admitting a change by recommendation. So what we're going to do is we have a procedural motion. We're going to vote on whether you accept that procedural motion, right? So you're voting on whether we're going to put the motion. Okay. Do you have a seconder, Councillor Dawson? You don't need a seconder, do you? You don't need a seconder. That's what the minister said. Right. Okay, so you're voting on whether we're going to put the motion. All those in favour of putting the motion, please raise your hand or say aye.
Do you want me to take the count, Mayor?
No, the motion is defeated. So we have Councillor Dawson, we have Councillor Harris, we have Councillor Keyser. All those opposed to the put motion, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Barr, Councillor Mason, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, and Councillor Orr. So the put motion is defeated, which means that we're back to debating this motion. Correct. I've always done it. Anyway. All right, so has everyone asked their questions? Can I hand it back to the mover to close? Councillor Barr to close.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's been a big debate go on here. I did make a comment that it could end up that way, but the 360-degree that was asked of Councillor Lowe comment about 360-degree. The 360-degree is, I agree, every councillor should be able to have a comment made, but put their name to it, own what they say, and that is why I want to go back and do what this council made comment in closed session, which is okay to bring this bit out because I've got on my agenda, that we needed the councillors to be responsible for what they write and put their name to it. So let's do that. That's what my motion will do. We'll give the 360 back to the councillors, or have inputs into the general manager's review, and we'll also say, I, Heather Barwick, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I say, or this is what I think. And I have my name there and be responsible. The issue that you talk about is sitting around getting the report after it comes to the table. It came to the table last month. I sat Marissa last time, not the next, the one before. Yes, I sat and listened to that one. And I'll be here on the 5th of November. That's when the next one starts at 9 o'clock on the 5th of November. I'll be here. When that came back to our table, we as a council weren't allowed to touch anything or change anything. And that is on record of that meeting, because there were things that I wanted to say and nothing could be changed because the decision was made among the panel. Right? Now, and that was a question that was asked around this table today. Can things be changed? And you said, yes, they can, or Councillor Mason or whoever said it said, yes, it can, but it can't. So to that's for another reason why I want it back to the entire council. So we do have some input. I don't care about local government associations. They're not the Georgetown Council. They don't employ our GM. And they don't tell us how we should do it. I mean, if it's in legislation and the state government makes it legal, we can't get out of it. But until that day, the GATs do not tell us. They're advisors. They give us advice and we pay money for advice to 29 councils. Other councils are now going away from having panels. They are all being involved. So they feel part of that general manager. And that, to me, I just want this council to consider. I know there was a big discussion at lunchtime. I want you to discuss and be fair to yourself and the people that you represent. And that's all I ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. All right, councillors, before you then we have the motion by Councillor Barwick. Again, I'm not going to repeat myself. There's two parts to it. Effectively, it's to return to the full council review process. And secondly, and again, this is me summarising it, is to go to non-anonymised 360-degree survey feedback. All right, to that extent, I'm going to put it to the, all of those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Barwick, Councillor Archer, all those against, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Dawson. Councillor Harris, have you got a vote? Okay, so you're abstaining? And we have abstaining, we have Councillor Orr and Councillor Harris. So the motion is defeated 7-2. Sorry, 6-2. 226, should I say, and then 2 abstained. I am. That leads us to section 15. Section 15 is Council's questions with or without notice. There is a response provided to Councillor Barwick around the cost allocation for the... Winter Solstice event, thank you. Which leads us to section 16. Can I noting the time is 2:57. Can I call for a mover and a seconder to move us into closed session, please? Councillor Mason is our mover. Yes. Seconded by Councillor Orr. You have questions, please bring. I think she's launched. Let's give Councillor Barwick a chance. I think we have to. Councillor Barwick. Yeah, before I said Councillor Barwick. Microphone, please.
I am.
Thank you, Councillor Mason.
I am not. I'm not impressed with the letter. solstice account that I was offered here. It is not a proper account as far as I'm concerned. I want a itemised listing of the costing, which is how much was the lighting inside and outside? How much did it cost for the musicians and the things that were people that were there? The cost of the fencing being put up, the cost of the toilets that were hired, the cost of security, the cost of the hairdresser. I've got none of those costings. And if we make, the reason I wanted it this way was we expect the Neighbourhood House and the Folk Festival to itemise everything that they do, then we, to be transparent, we do the same. Now, I mean, it talks about here, council funds utilised $56,168 to be used from the events, arts and culture budget. Well, we have no money in there for the arts budget anymore. That would be a zero budget. And that's why I'm busting so much to see what our entire budget that comes to us in our mid-year budget, that comes to us in January, what monies we've got left in these sections of our budget. But I am not happy with this report, and I'd like a proper
I think through the chair to the general manager, given that he is the one providing the response. Would you like to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I apologise if not to your satisfaction, Councillor Barley. We can certainly provide you the detailed
cost.
Can I finish, please?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. What we can do, though, is provide those costings in detail to you. Some of them may have the absence of the provider of those particular services, as we do with those who submit acquittals to us. We don't publish a musician's fee.
That's right.
We don't publish exclusive providers or a provider that may be identified if it's been commercial. But we can provide you a full breakdown, not a problem at all.
Right, so there'll be the musician, there'll be this.
Without your identification, because we have had accusation or concern provided to us before from those who give us acquittals, that providing us the amount that they spend on individual artists, for instance, is a commercial confidence, and that we should not gain benefit of that either. So just respecting the rules for both. Yeah, and there was a second part to your question.
Mid-year result.
If I'm not, yeah, that won't be in January though, Councillor. We'll complete our accounts mid-January for the two quarters prior, and you'll receive it in February in the quarterly report. As usual.
Be more than a quarterly report for the full budget.
As per normal. All right, can I move on? We have Councillor Mason and Councillor Orr as being our movers into closed time. We are closed session. We are now going to record the new time of 3:01. All those in favour of moving into closed session, please raise your hand or say aye. Go to quote, say unanimous. Are we good? No. Okay, against is Councillor Harris.
Off you go. Oh, no, not again.
Okay, so 8-7-2-1.
No, I didn't. I didn't vote when
you said off you go.
So I just recalled Councillor Harris.
You were going.
Councillor Harris is leaving the meeting at 3:02. Thank you. All right. That takes us into closed session, so Lou, you can turn the recording off. Thank you. And then we will restart the next recording.